You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So I spoke to Dr. Ralph Buck, the UNESCO co-chair of Dance and Social Inclusion, about the benefits of incorporating dance into your life. This includes how it can foster social inclusion and also create a more civil society. We started the interview by discussing the significance of his new co-chair position, which was appointed for the first time last year.
The significance is that it profiles the power and role of dance in communicating a particular civil society, creating society, creating communities, creating activities that people feel that they can join in on, and basically appealing to an activity that people all know about but don't actually really know how beneficial it can be beyond just the immediate feels good factor.
So what are some of those other benefits for schools and community organizations of implementing dance programs?
Well, I suppose that the thing that I really like about dance, when you look at how it can be used in different situations, is that it allows people to bring their individuality forward and to feel as if they have something to contribute. They have a certain sense of significance or power to bring to a dance group. And the other part that I really like is that when the individuals feel safe and comfortable to be themselves, then the group sense or the community is created, and a certain kind of collective or solidarity or unity is formed, and that provides a certain strength to a community perspective. And you sort of can get a lot achieved done at a personal and social level when people come to a group and feel that they have agency and that they can be heard and that they can be themselves, importantly. And a good example is, for example, what do we do? If we go in and we work with elderly people and we bring dance to a group of people in a retirement home or somewhere like that, and we just basically start a process of movement and then gradually allow the dance to grow and the activities to happen, and people start to relax and feel free and join in and be themselves and start to talk and start to contribute and start to feel like they have something of value and something to say. And that's a very valuable thing to add to society.
What other groups are excluded from dance education, and how can we make dance more accessible for those excluded?
Yeah, well, nearly everyone is excluded in some way. There are some pretty strong assumptions and expectations of what dance is out there in the world. And, you know, it's not all about being world champion or the best or being standing on point. It's about sort of being able to be yourself and bring your own body and your own ideas and your own culture into a space. So, I mean, the others, it's like nearly everyone in a way. It's just basically going out and saying, well, you know, you can contribute ideas into this space if you want to. And one of the benefits of dance is that you can use your body to express your ideas and to start a conversation. And you can fumble around with words. For a lot of people, being able to just move and to be with a partner or to be by themselves or in a group is very freeing, and in that freedom they can express themselves and share ideas and just make them feel as if they have value in a certain situation.
In regards to creating a civil society, which you've talked a bit about, how can dance aid in allowing that to happen, especially in our current political climate and with stress created by COVID-19, what is the role of dance in creating a more civil society?
The thing that dance can do very, very well is create community and to allow people to, at a very individual sense and group sense, feel as if they have agency and can be trusted and can contribute. I often say to some people, you know, if you go to a group of people who you might not necessarily know, but anyway, you start dancing with someone and you start, you know, if you're doing a waltz or doing a cha-cha or doing, you know, hip-hop, or but you're dancing with other people. And to do that, you have to look at each other, you have to listen to each other, you have to respect each other's abilities and perspectives and see the other person for what they are at that moment. And in doing that, you're practicing the whole thing of respecting the other people, other person, of having tolerance of what others around you are doing, of respecting space and allowing time. And all of those skills or competencies of just listening, creating, sharing, talking, respecting, trusting, those things lie at the heart of what civil society is. And essentially you're practicing the development of values and actions that when you take out of that dance moment, when you finish that hour and you walk away, you just have a greater sense of, well, I can do it there. Maybe I can do it in another context as well. And the other thing is, like, if you have to go and dance with someone and, you know, look them in the eye and hold their hand or just be with them, you are genuinely much less likely to want to basically pull a gun on them. And it really does matter that, you know, when you're with other people and you're doing something like that, your sense of reaching out to humans and humanity is much more present, I think.
And does New Zealand adequately promote diversity in dance, or is it largely more of a Western-dominated space?
I think everyone on the planet can do better on it, but New Zealand is pretty good. I mean, New Zealand has the world's largest youth dance festival that happens once a year in South Auckland, and it's astoundingly popular and very, very good. At the professional level in New Zealand, there's quite a range of different types of professional dance companies that provide scope. You know, we have Footnote, we have the Ballet, we have Atomura, we have I'll come to me in a minute. But the dance companies that invite different perspectives and different bodies and different cultures, very much so. I think New Zealand can do a lot more, as anyone can, but I have to say that the schools, especially the secondary schools, are doing a great job in bringing dance to as many kids as possible and bringing it to society with all its performances. I think we can work with a lot more dance in primary schools and integrate dance into the curriculum a lot more. But why people shy away from dance is because they have these different expectations and assumptions of what dance is. And when I end up speaking to teachers, especially primary school teachers and their children, and I say, well, dance can be anything you want it to be, and we can bring it into the classroom in many, many different ways. It does not have to be modern dance or it does not have to be a kapa haka. It can be whatever it wants for this classroom, in this school, in any way you want. And when kids and teachers understand that there's a lot more freedom and there's a lot more scope, they start to relax and they start to just talk about who dances and why we dance and what can we do And the kids usually have done quite a lot of experience, and they start getting up and showing each other what they do, and it becomes a very real thing in the classroom quite quickly once you shift the meanings of what dance can be.
So is this a stigma that people aren't implementing dance because it costs? They think it costs too much or it's too hard, but really it can be quite simple.
Yes, there is a stigma, I suppose there is a bit about the money side of things, but mostly it's about that there's a right dance and a wrong dance, or that there are dances you're supposed to do and all that kind of thing. And there is this hierarchy that I rail against all the time, you know. And I often hear people say, you know, if I say the word dance, what's the immediate image that comes to your mind? And many people straight away think of ballet and tutus and pirouettes and that kind of imagery. And that does dominate a lot of people's thinking of what is dance. And I have to reinforce the fact that actually, you know, that's not the dominant dance. And if you look in your classroom right now, you've got a lot of kids, you've got a lot of different faces from different cultures, and those dancers that belong to those cultures and those people are just as welcome and just as important. But for some reason, people think that they're not, but actually they are. And when you bring those dancers in and you practice them and you develop them and you get the pride of achieving, then you get this sense of this is who we are. This is who we are in this classroom. This is our identity, and we're respecting our communities. And then also when you perform those dances back to the parents and the wider community, it speaks to them and say, wow, you know, we're a part of this community. We're part of this school. We're part of New Zealand. And it's really, really important that the different minorities, the different communities and groups of people that are all part of New Zealand and should all be proud of being part of New Zealand are all recognised and seen, and they can see themselves being articulated in various ways. And, you know, the arts are very powerful in helping articulate culture and identity, and dance does that as well.
And another way people have been articulating their self-expression and identity through dance has been on social media throughout the lockdown. Has this been evidence that people want to get involved with dance?
Exactly. I think people want to express themselves when they're anxious and stressed. But the thing is, people can express themselves in the comfort of their own lounge room. The fact that someone has videoed and put the small little routines up on TikTok or whatever is you know, an interesting thing in itself. But the thing is, people can turn off the lights and go for it in their own bedroom or their own lounge room. It doesn't have to be dancing for other people. It's just dancing for yourself, just to try and make yourself feel good or to connect. I really like watching all the dances when we're in lockdown, and the whole YouTube and TikTok phenomenon of all these little movement grabs and quite comprehensive choreographies in other cases, of dancing around the kitchen with a father and son, or you know, mother and daughter, etc., etc., making little duets in the kitchen, in the lounge room, on the sofas, under all sorts of things, and just being creative and playing. And that's the thing, it's just like playing with movement, playing with the music, playing with your space, and just enjoying it for what it is. And should you want to share that on a social media, then go for it. But that's a secondary part of the whole deal. The most important thing is just getting up and playing and moving and doing what makes you feel good. And we know that movement and making yourself feel good can release a whole lot of endorphins, and literally does make you feel a lot better.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
And that was Dr. Ralph Buck on the benefits of dance and how it can foster social inclusion.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.